And you know, I've just had this message on my heart now for a while about the glory that transforms. And I want to talk about that today because I believe that most of this is going to be something that you've heard before. It's something God's been stirring in my heart for a long time. But I want to look at what the Bible actually says about the glory of God. Because there seems to be a lot of misunderstanding about what it is, first of all, and then number two, how it actually works. You know, we've had all kinds of really interesting things where people claim that they've seen the glory of God, or the glory of God did this or did that, you know? Well, I don't know about you, but anybody love a good mystery? My wife is kind of a mystery buff, especially some of the older produced English mysteries. Oh, yeah. And but do you know how frustrating it is to watch a mystery with somebody who gets it solved in the first 5 minutes? Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm like, oh, no, she didn't do it. I'm sure she did. She did it. There's no way he could have committed. No, yeah, he did it. So, you know, it feels like that with the body of Christ sometimes when it comes to the glory of God. The Bible talks about this mystery has been hidden for generations, but not anymore. Everybody say, not anymore. Come on, let's get into the Word of God. You got your word ears on today? Amen. We got a lot of scripture we want to go through, and I want to give you what God's given me. We're going to begin with Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, okay? And again, thanks to the worship team today and to all of you who helped make this healing now possible, both our healing disciples and as well as our staff. Thank you to everybody. Colossians 1:27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, God gave us, you know, he's done this several times. One time he said, I set before you life and death. And then he said, choose life. He knew we'd need a clue. So, you know, I set before you life and death, choose life, okay? Here the mystery has been revealed. He said it was made known to the Gentiles, which is us, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Now, it's amazing to me that this is a glory that is unlike any other glory that the world has ever seen. And we're gonna discover that today. Because this is not what we would typically think of oftentimes as glory. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. We're going to, like I said, look at a lot of scripture today. It tells us here in Hebrews 12 verse 2 that we should be looking unto who? Jesus. We should be looking unto Jesus because he's the author and the finisher or the perfecter of our faith. Notice we're not to be looking unto Moses. Right? We don't want to look back to what was, right? We want to be looking unto Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but he's the one that we're looking to because Christ in us is the glory of God. So we're looking unto him who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Hallelujah. So I want to ask you something. Is it possible that in trying to understand the glory, we got our eyes on the wrong thing? I think so. Just like in Jesus' day, many have not recognized the glory that transforms. Is it possible that we were expecting the spectacular and getting our eyes on the spectacular and we actually missed the supernatural? I think so. So I don't know if you've been like me, but I've asked myself, so what is the glory exactly? When we talk about the glory of God, what is it exactly? Well, or do you think it looks different in our lifetime than it did in the old covenant? Well, I looked up the word in the Hebrew and the Greek, and the word glory is described like this. Words like this, it's weighty. Anybody grew up in the 70s? I see five hands. you remember when we'd say something like this? Whoa, that is heavy. The glory of God is heavy. It's a heavy revy. It's weighty. It's magnificent. It's excellent. It has honor. There's clearness, brightness. You can tell that even from the original language, it's hard to describe it. It's costliness. It's beautiful, splendor, praiseworthy, full of majesty, worthy of celebration. Woo, this is all contained in the word, the glory. So let's take a look and see what's possible. I've got these scriptures on my iPad here so I can refer to them quickly. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to look at this again later on. Verse 6 and 7 says this, it's God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, speaking of Genesis, who has shown where? In our hearts. Everybody say inside out.
Inside out.
Yeah, say it again.
Inside out.
It's God who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This is who is in us. Not just what is in us, but who is in us. Then he says, but don't forget, we have this treasure. What treasure? The treasure of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ in earthen vessels, so that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Wow. The treasure is Christ in us, so that the excellence of the power may be from God and not from us. Tell your neighbor, you're not the source. But we have the source on the inside of us. Let's not get it confused. Amen? We're not the healer. Jesus in us is the healer, but he said he's going to do it through us. Hallelujah. Everybody say, in Christ. This is where my life is now. This is where you are in him, right? Your life is no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, we're going to glorify God with all that is within us. But our position now is in him. Amen. So the excellence of the power doesn't come from Daniel Amsetz. The excellence of the power doesn't come from Andrew Womack. The excellence of the power, you could go on and fill it, your name in there. The excellence of the power comes from who? The one who's in me. Who is that? Jesus Christ, the glory of God. Jesus prayed the most amazing prayer for us in John chapter 17. I want to go to it and look at it again. Verse 20. This is actually the Lord's Prayer, as I call it. And how many, James 5, 16 says that the fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? It avails much. So how many think that when Jesus prayed a prayer, he got what he prayed for? He got you. That's what he prayed for. Now watch this. Verse 20, John 17. He's praying, you know, through this whole chapter here. So we're jumping right into the middle of this. He just finished praying for the disciples. And he says in verse 20, I don't pray for these disciples alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So how's the world going to believe? Through the oneness that we've been given in Christ. And the glory, look at verse 22. Oh, you guys are going to love this. You ready? You ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay, watch this. And the glory, Jesus says, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Same glory.
Yeah.
Same glory. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them so that they may be one just as we are one. Do you realize who you are? Do you realize what you've been given? We are one with Jesus Christ. We are one with God Himself because of what Jesus has made available to us. We've got the treasure living on the inside of us. Hallelujah. The glory that God gave to Jesus, Jesus has given us so that we could be one with the risen Christ. Hallelujah. We are now the containers of the glory of God. Now, I want to ask you a question. Why on earth has it been so easy for us to miss this? I want you to look at your neighbor. Now you know why. Come on. This treasure is in what? An earthen vessel, so that the excellence of the power may not be of the earthen vessel, but it is of the treasure that's in us. How did we miss it? We got our eyes on the wrong thing. We started looking after the flesh, saying, oh, he looks powerful. She looks dynamic. Same thing happened in Jesus' day. Do you know no one even recognized the glory, even though it was there for 33 years? 30 years went by, and nobody recognized the glory. He just looked like everybody else on the outside. There was no beauty or comeliness that we should behold him. But what was on the inside was bringing transformation to the outside. Everybody say, the glory that transforms. Now, we know that when we are in Christ Jesus, all things have become new. But I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, because Paul is exhorting the Corinthian church here by saying something so powerful. He says in verse 26, 1 Corinthians 1, 26, he says, "For you see your calling, brethren," or believers, "that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are." Does that encourage you? Hallelujah. I'm just not that smart. Praise God. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Now, why? Look at verse 29. "So that no flesh should glory in his presence." Everybody say, it's not about me.
It's not about me.
It's not about you. See, guess what? Neither is healing. Healing is not about you, but it's for you. Glory to God. Verse 29. "That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." Hallelujah. God has always desired to reveal who he is, but he couldn't really do it like he wanted to until Jesus. Many know the language of healing in our environment here at Charis, but not the healer. They don't really know the person. They might know facts, they might know verses, they might know some stuff. But God wants us to know him and to know him in the power of his resurrection. So think about this. Is it possible to know about healing and miss the healer? Well, apparently in Jesus' day, think about this, the people of Nazareth missed Jesus because they knew about him. They were familiar with him. They saw him in the flesh, but they didn't really know who he was. They didn't recognize the glory of God when it was among them. Philippians 3, verse 7 says this: "What things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for what? For the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord." Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:24, a very familiar scripture to all of us here, I'm sure, says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, so that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." You see, healing flows out of our relationship with God. We've been made righteous because of what Jesus did on our behalf. And now he's given us who he is so that we can live in that position of rightness with God. And out of our relationship flows the healing. Out of our life in him flows the fruit from the root. All we have to do is abide. See, healing comes naturally when it's based supernaturally. Make sense?
Yes, yes, yes.
I walked by the produce section one time in the supermarket, and I never heard any of the fruit groaning and straining to become fruit. I'm just trying so hard to be a grape. But we do that as Christians, don't we? I'm just trying so hard to get healed. Well, stop trying so hard and rest in the finished work. Amen? All we got to do is abide, because when we abide, fruitfulness is the result. Hallelujah. So Christ in us is the glory of God. Now I want to take you back just for a little bit before the mystery was revealed, because we know now, being on this side of the cross. But I want to take us back a little bit just for a moment, okay? Are you good?
Yes.
Would you agree with me that in the Old Covenant we saw some amazing manifestations of the glory of God? The first time we ever see a manifestation of glory is found in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 10. The children of Israel are in the wilderness, and there's something significant about how the glory appears here. Exodus 16, verse 10. It says that the glory of God appeared in a cloud. Okay? And guess what? It wasn't because they were doing something right. They were actually complaining. And the glory of God still manifested. And how did it manifest? In a cloud. Everybody say, a cloud.
A cloud.
Then the first time we ever see this happening in a dwelling place, it happens in Exodus chapter 40, verse 34. This is the tabernacle. And it says, then the cloud, everybody say, the cloud. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting or the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Then, many times throughout the Old Covenant, we find this phrase written in Scripture: the glory of the Lord filled the temple. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10. And it came to pass when the priest came out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord so much so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. Pretty awesome. For the glory of the Lord filled the house. Say with me, the glory of the Lord,
glory of the Lord
filled the house.
Filled the house.
Say it again. The glory of the Lord filled the house. Now, I got to tell you, I had a little bone to pick with God over this. Back in the 80s, I was reading this scripture, and I said, God, that just makes me mad. I'm looking at this, and I'm like, you know, these guys, they're doing what they do, and all of a sudden, you manifest to the point that they can't even minister anymore because the glory of the Lord fills the house. And I began to imagine what it would be like to be the worship leader of the perfect worship service. And you would sing just the right lyrics, and all the instrumentalists and the singers would be as one. And you would have the right key, A flat major. And you would play the God's favorite chord, Jesus. Okay, forget that, let that go. And I'm dreaming about the very perfect worship service and how the glory of God would come in like a cloud from the back of the room, and everybody would just fall out because they just couldn't minister anymore because of the glory. And finally it'd get up to me and I would fall out on the stage, and the Lord literally said to me, Daniel, wake up. He said, don't you realize you're under a better covenant with better promises and there's a better way to worship? I told you, Christ in you is the hope of glory. You don't have to wait for a cloud anymore, praise God. You've been brought face to face with the very glory of God. If we're going to be part of this third great awakening, come on, I believe we got to wake up personally to what's already been given to us in Christ. Now, here's what's interesting. I've got several more scriptures here. Just write this one down. 2 Chronicles 5. Verse 13 and 14 talks about when the trumpeters and the singers were as one in praising God. They lifted up their voice and all that. And they said, the Lord is good and his mercy endures, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. What is up with the cloud? For the glory of the Lord filled the house. Say with me again, the glory of the Lord filled the house. So we find over and over again, when the glory was manifested, the priest couldn't stand to minister. Why was that? Because even under the old covenant, the manifested glory was always greater than the natural. God's presence will always bring transformation. Then eventually in the book of Habakkuk, in chapter 2, verse 14, this prophet named Habakkuk, first of all, what mother would ever name their kid Habakkuk? This prophet prophesies about a time coming, and listen to what he says. He says in 2:14, the earth is going to be filled with what? The knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Where is that? Everybody say, in me. Hallelujah. The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ has been given to you already. The Bible says the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. In other words, there's going to be believers in every country all over the world filled with the glory of God. Hallelujah. Now, throughout the old covenant, God's glory could only be external and temporary, okay? It was veiled, it was temporary, until the fullness of time when the Father finally gives his only begotten Son. And this time, not a temple made with hands, praise God. Not a building, but a living temple. God sends Jesus to bring us into a better covenant with better promises. And what would this look like? What would new covenant glory look like? Well, I want to show you. John chapter 1, verse 17. Who would show us what's possible? Who would show us what could be? John 1, 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, lived among us. Watch this. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And look what was in this glory. It was full of grace and truth. Ooh, hallelujah. This glory was full of grace and it was full of truth. When you know the truth, what does the truth do? When you have the grace of God, he gives you the ability to do what you could never do in the natural realm. Amen. We beheld the glory. Hallelujah. When Jesus comes, the Word becomes a human being. The Word became flesh. The Word becomes a human being. Amen. He is the new temple. And watch this. For the first time in history, glory has a face. We beheld him. What did he look like? Everybody else. But we beheld him. Now we get to behold his glory. His glory is no longer hidden in a cloud. It's glory with a face that's full of truth and full of grace. It's a glory that transforms. Now, here's what I find very interesting. Once the Word becomes flesh, in Scripture, do we ever see the presence of God show up again in a cloud? No, we don't. Now, when Jesus comes back, he's going to come back in the clouds. When he left the earth to go back to heaven, one scripture, book of Acts, says as we were looking up and Jesus was taken up, he was taken up in a cloud. But after Jesus comes on the scene, the glory of God manifests in the flesh, hallelujah, showing us what glory really is all about, glory that's full of grace and full of truth. We never see the glory manifest in a cloud again. Why? Because the cloud was the shadow of the real deal. The cloud in the Old Covenant was actually for their protection. God wasn't trying to hide from them. He was actually protecting them. Now in Christ, the cloud is removed and we are given an invitation to behold him, full of grace and truth. So when Jesus, the glory of God, went about doing what he went about doing, when he was manifesting the glory, what did that glory look like? Say with me, the glory that transforms. Now watch this, Mark chapter 2. This is going to bless you. Mark 2, verse 9. Jesus says, what's easier to say to the paralytic? Your sins are forgiven? Or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Verse 12, immediately this man arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, watch this, saying, we never saw anything like this. What did the manifested glory of God look like? They had seen clouds. They had seen and heard all that had happened in the Old Covenant, but nobody yet had seen anything that looked like this. Say with me, the glory that transforms. You are now a new creation in Christ. You are now a living epistle in Christ as part of the church today, all because of what Jesus came to show us and then died to give us. Watch this, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. We have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. We know we're just an earthen vessel, right? But our sufficiency is from God, who also has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Everybody say new covenant. New covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit of God. For the letter kills, or the law kills, but the Spirit of God gives life. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds I need a Hammond B3 right now. Exceeds what?
Much more.
Much more. Everybody say much more. See, we don't need to go back to look for something that's going to roll in like a cloud from the back of the auditorium. Come on. This ministry of the Spirit exceeds much more in glory. Listen to this. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. That's what you have inside of you. The glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. That glory that Moses had, it was pretty spectacular, but you know what? It started to fade. So what did Moses do? He put a veil over his face so they couldn't see that it was fading. I always thought he put a veil over his face because it was so bright they couldn't stand to look at him. No, they put a veil because it was fading. It was a glory that was fading away. Verse 14, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament. Why? Because the veil is taken away in Christ. Hallelujah. No more clouds, no more shadows, no more veils. We've got a glory that is so much better. A glory that exceeds. Hallelujah. A glory that is much more glorious. Verse 15. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away. Verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what?
Liberty.
There's liberty. There's freedom. Whom the Son sets free is really free. Hallelujah. Free indeed. Freedom is good. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Verse 18, now watch this. But we all, everybody say we all.
We all.
This isn't reserved for just a few people on a platform. This is for every believer. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding, just like as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We all, with unveiled face, beholding. What you behold, you become. We are being transformed into the same image from the glory of God that's in us, allowing that glory now to bring transformation to every part of our lives, our will, our emotions, our mind, our motivation, our imagination. The glory of God is transforming me from the inside out as I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. How else are we transformed? By beholding the Lord Jesus Christ. We become what we behold. So is it possible that we've been given something greater than anything yet known in history. From the tabernacle to the temple to Christ Jesus to now Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now we get to actually experience not only the glory, but the riches of his glory. Look at this, Colossians chapter 1. We read verse 27, but I want to start now with verse 26. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and generations, but now has been revealed to them. God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man complete or perfect in Christ. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So I want to ask you a question. Are we still trying to get the glory? Are we trying to get the Spirit of God? Are we trying to get into the presence of God? You didn't sound as sure.
No.
Did the presence of God get into you?
Yes.
Did the glory already get into you?
Yes.
Did the Spirit of God already get into you?
Yes.
Absolutely. You are the container of the very glory of God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 6:19, you know it, but it says it this way. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost who is in you? Whom you have from God and you're not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, many people are struggling today because honestly, they've been living with a stolen identity. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they've been given. Amen. Even the disciples before Jesus died and made who he is all available on the inside out, for the first time in history, after his crucifixion and resurrection, even before all this happens, Jesus gave them delegated authority over sickness and disease. But even then, they were struggling. You know, they didn't have what we have today, but they were struggling. And I want to show you this out of John 14, because Philip comes to Jesus one day, bless his heart, and he says to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father. I mean, come on. We just want to see God, okay? Show us the Father, and it'll be sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you've not known me, Philip? He who has seen me, what? Has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me? Doesn't this sound like John 17, verse 20? Jesus said we'd be one in him. We would have the same glory that he had, has now been given to us. Now, he says, do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, watch this, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So could we correctly say that glory is connected to the same works as Jesus and greater still?
Yes.
So for those of us who are living on the earth right now, is there a difference in the way that glory is carried and glory is manifested? Well, I want to take a look at it. Jesus said something real interesting here in John 11, verse 40. He said this to Martha. He said, did I not say to you, Martha, that if you would believe, you would see what? the glory of God. Martha, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Oh, man, what does it look like? I want to know what the glory of God looks like. I wonder, I'm not sure. So what did the glory of God look like? Well, let's take a look. John 11, verse 4. Here comes Lazarus. Jesus said, this sickness, it's not unto death, but for the glory of God. Meaning, God uses this situation to reveal his glory by healing what the enemy caused, to bring glory to God. Healing, overcoming the sickness, is what glorified God, not the sickness. Look at this passage, Luke 9, verse 41. Here's another example, okay? What did the glory of God look like? Before we get to Mark or to Luke 9, what did the glory of God look like? I want to propose to you that the glory of God looked like healing. The glory of God looked like restoration. And the glory of God looked like miracle recovery. Jesus said to Martha, you're going to see the glory of God. Oh, man. You know, by the way, I was sharing this with our healing disciples one day, but I think it's so interesting how when Lazarus came forth, remember what Jesus said? With a loud voice, he cried out, Lazarus, come forth. And all of a sudden, Lazarus appears. He was dead and in the tomb, which was way down into the cave, where his actual tomb was. And the Bible says that when he came out, he was still bound with all of his grave clothes. How did he get out? I don't think so. The word that Jesus spoke and the glory that was demonstrated brought a dead man out of a tomb all the way out into recovery, restoration, and healing. What does New Covenant glory look like? Let's look at another example. Luke 9, verse 41. At the end of the verse here, Jesus says, bring your son here. And as he was still coming, the demon threw him down and convulsed him. Then Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, and gave the child back to his father. Watch this. And they were all astonished at what? I heard two people say the majesty of God. What were they astonished at?
The majesty of God.
What does the majesty of God look like?
Glory.
Majesty. Worship his majesty. You remember that?
Yes.
Well, what did the glory of God look like? It was weighty. It was full of light. It was beautiful. It was worthy of celebration. What does majesty and glory look like in the new covenant? They said, we were astonished at the majesty of God. I want to propose to you that the majesty of God looked like deliverance. Ooh, come on. The majesty of God looked like miracle recovery from an assignment from the enemy to take out the life of this young child. And God said, not on my watch. Hallelujah. He's given you that same glory on the inside. What does majesty look like? It looks like deliverance. It looks like healing. It looks like restoration. Now, I'm not trying to offend anybody here today. Obviously, we wouldn't be here if we didn't want to be here. But let me tell you something. Why would we get our eyes on gold dust when we have the whole treasure? What does the glory of God look like when it's manifested? I've heard all kinds of things. Gold dust, clouds, feathers. That's another story for another time. We'll let that go. Jewels. Listen, God can do whatever God wants to do, but I'm just telling you, from what we see in the Word of God, when the glory of God is manifested in the new covenant, it looks like deliverance, healing, and restoration. This is the glory. Jesus said what? These signs and these wonders are going to follow those who believe. In my name, they're going to lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. Could it be that we got our eyes on the wrong sign? Everybody say, here's your sign.
Here's your sign.
Amen. We were eyewitnesses to his majesty. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 says, we were eyewitnesses to his majesty. Well, he just looked like everybody else from the outside. But what was on the inside, they had never seen before. Ooh, we've never seen anything like this before. Who is this? Isn't this just the carpenter's son? As I wrap this up today, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. My speech and my preaching, verse 4, my speech and my preaching, Paul says, were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but what? In power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. Listen, what you've got inside is so much greater than whatever's trying to come against you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You've got a treasure that's so loaded with the power of God, the life of God, the presence of God, full of grace, full of truth. All of this is already resonant on the inside of you. Jesus is just simply saying, will you give such as you've been given? Freely you have received. Now I want to invite you to freely give. Oh, I don't know if I have that, Daniel. I think only Andrew has that. You know, Benny Hinn has a special gift. So do you. Everybody say treasure.
Treasure.
On the inside. Amen. Acts chapter 3, verse 12. You know it. They've just healed. Peter and John were at the gate, beautiful, and they've just healed a man who was lame for 40-some years. And the people are starting to kind of, again, just get so excited over what they just saw happen. Well, it is pretty exciting, isn't it? But instead of acknowledging that the power and the glory came from the Word who became flesh, they start looking at Peter and John. Remember, the treasure is in earthen vessels, so that the excellence of the power may not be of the vessel, right? But of him who is in us. And he says this in Acts 3:12. Peter says this to the people who had gathered there. Why are you looking so intently at us, as though by our own power or our own godliness we had made this man walk? Then jump down to verse 16. He tells them, no, having faith in the name of Jesus. Yes, the faith that comes through him. Jesus is the healer. We're just simply the containers of the glory. So as I wrap this up today, again, Jesus said we would do the same works. He said these signs will follow those who believe. That's the only qualification. Do you know who's in you? Do you know that you've got the glory that transforms? Anybody ever see, what was that? I just forgot the name of the movie now. About the Ark, when they go to discover the Ark. Yes, thank you. Raiders of the Lost Ark. Anybody ever see that movie from back in the day? You know, and they began to lift the lid of the Ark, supposedly, and, you know, the glory of God. Listen, what you've got is so much greater than what anybody had in the old covenant. Jesus told Moses, God told Moses, you can't see my face and live. But John 1 says, we beheld him. We didn't just not see him. We beheld him full of grace and full of truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'll get it right here eventually, says, that we behold him, and as we behold him, we become like him. God wants you to look. He wants you to keep looking, because Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. So here's what I want to encourage you with. I believe that as we are here where we are right now in 2026, as we are in what Andrew Womack has called the third great awakening, and I believe that with all my heart, we have to personally awaken to what we've been given in order to be a part of what God wants to do in the earth today. I know God's got more for us to do. Amen. These signs will follow those who believe. I believe I'm looking at a whole room and a whole world on the internet. Oh, I see you. Full of believers who believe. These signs will follow. Well, one of the things that will happen is we're going to lay our hands on the sick and they will recover. Yes. Praise God. Yes. Amen. You want to see signs and wonders? Why don't we start with what Jesus did? Yes. Let's do the same works. Right? Now, I have six things here I want to share with you really quick about what I don't want you to do. Okay? These are, I think I have six. One, two, three, four. Yep, six don'ts. Don't start managing what we were meant to obey. Whew. I'll say it again. Don't start trying to manage what we were meant to obey. When the glory of God is manifest, when it's manifest through you, man, I'm telling you, it's powerful. Don't try to get your hands on it. Just let it flow through you. Remember, you're not the source. You're just the earthen vessel that is flowing through. So when those miracles start happening, when that deliverance happens, you don't have to take credit for it. Don't try to manage what God's called you to obey. You good? Number two, don't allow manifested glory to get replaced with structure. Don't allow manifested glory to get replaced with structure. The Bible says there are people who have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. And what does he say? Don't get connected to it. Avoid that. Flee from, run. Run, Forrest, run. Man, it's amazing to me how many people will get hooked up with a church that has no power. There's form, but there's no power. Well, we've got the power. Say, I've got the power. And I'm not going to start turning into structure what God has manifested through glory. You good?
Yes.
Number three, don't let trusting the presence slowly turn into expertise. Man, remember when you first got born again, you didn't know anything about anything? You know, you were just fresh, you know? You discovered how much you were loved and you gave your heart to the Lord and you were so excited, so on fire. I mean, he really was your first love. And you just wanted to go do and be and you know, whatever it was you heard, you were going to go do. I've seen this happen so many times in my 50-plus years of ministry. And people will, you know, go lay hands on the sick, for instance, and they've only been born again for a day. And they see the most amazing recoveries and miracles after just being born again for a day. And then the people who've been walking with God for 25 years, like, hey, what's up with that? They've only known God for a day. I've known him for... Listen, don't let trusting the presence slowly turn into expertise to where you become the expert, quote unquote. No, always be dependent upon who is in you. Apart from him, I can do nothing. But in him, I can do all things through Christ, who is my source. Don't let trusting the presence... In other words, the presence within you slowly turn into expertise. What was that? Number three? Here's number four. Don't let order replace obedience. Well, I just want to be in order. Yeah, well, what's God saying? Now, I'm not saying usurp authority. I'm not saying don't be respectful to the structures or the systems that you're in. I'm just saying, listen, God is your source. And what God is saying to you is what we need to be responding to. Don't let order replace obedience. You know, it's amazing how many times you'll be just going through your day, and it's almost like in the spirit, you come to a fork in the road. You are going to go get a coffee. But the fork in the road is, there's somebody standing there, and you just heard the Lord say, go over and ask them this. And you're like, God, I'm just trying to get an Americano here. There's going to be a fork in the road, right? You're going to have opportunity to either go with what you want to do, or you're going to do what Jesus did when he said, I only do what the Father's saying to do, and I'm only going to say what the Father says to say. Okay? Don't let order replace obedience. Next one, don't allow playing it safe to replace surrender. Oh, this is a big one. Don't allow playing it safe to replace surrender. You know, God will use you in powerful ways if you'll just give God your yes. Just surrender. God, what if I lay hands on them and they fall over? What if I lay hands on them and they get sicker? What if I lay hands on them and they die? You know what? What if you lay hands on them and they recover? Just surrender. Don't allow playing it safe to replace surrender. Last one, don't trust in the preparation or the presentation. Trust in the presence. God trusts people who are not trying to be seen. We don't want you looking unto Daniel. We don't want you looking unto Andrew. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. But I don't want you looking unto me. I'm not your source. You can follow me because I'm following Christ. You can do what I do, but I'm not your source. Jesus is the source. And as we're looking unto him, he's going to lead us where we need to go, to where we can do what he's called us to do. Everybody say, the glory that transforms.
The glory that transforms.
Listen, you've got something that's so much better than anybody could have imagined from the old covenant. The glory that came in the tabernacle and the temple when the house was filled with the glory of God, God finally got what he wanted. You. You are the house that's now filled with the glory of God. Would you stand to your feet? Those of you who are scheduled to minister today, come on up forward here and get in place. And as you do, I just want to pray over all of us. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for opening up our eyes to see what we need to see, to hear, Lord God, what we need to hear. Would you open up our ears to hear from the realm of the Spirit what you're trying to show us, God, that this greater glory, this glory that exceedingly exceeds in every way, God, this glory that's not passing away, but the glory that has exceeding riches in it, hallelujah, that transforms to where we can grow and go from glory to glory to glory to glory. God, would you help us see what we need to see and help us hear what we need to hear? Father, I pray that we would get our eyes off of anything that might look like spectacular and look unto Jesus. That we would be looking unto you and not miss the opportunities that you've placed in front of us. Help us to see what the glory of Jesus really looks like. You said we'd do the same works. We'd raise the dead. We'd lay hands on the sick. All the things that you told us, God, you said, go do this. So, Father, that's what we want to do. We want to just repent of looking at external things. Lord, let's keep our eyes on the right thing. Help us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In just a minute here in the auditorium, we're going to give you an opportunity to have some personal ministry. But I want to say before we let our online family go, first of all, thank you again for joining us today. What a blessing to have you with us. And we have prayer ministers standing by right where you are. You're like, nope, there's nobody here. It's just me. If you'll call that number on your screen, 719-635-1111. Our call center is now open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So no matter what country you're in, what time zone you're in, there's somebody who's waiting to take your call. We would love, it'd be an honor for us to be able to minister to you. And then we would love to hear from you the wonderful breakthroughs, the miracle recoveries, because it's going to encourage somebody else as well. Amen. So thank you for joining us today. We love you. God bless you. We look forward to our next time together next week. Same time, in Jesus' name.